Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's get right to Terry Chasely, someone who has suffered a lot over the past few weeks, suffering through the coronavirus. Terry, first of all, thank you so much for giving us a little time here this evening.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to raise some awareness.
And let me just say, if at any point you want to wrap on up because you're not feeling it, you can either say it or you can just hang up the phone. We don't care either way.
Whatever. I would not do that, but I'm okay. I'm okay. Thank you.
Walk us through, first of all, how are you feeling now? And then kind of walk us through this harrowing journey.
I am feeling a little bit better every day. The recovery is definitely not linear. I feel better one day and then sort of, you know, decline the following day. But I do think that I'm on the right path right now. So hopefully in the next week, I'll be somewhat back to normal.
We hope so, too. And I am glad you're feeling better. And that's what's so scary about this, the idea that you feel okay or better one day and then worse the next. And it all started a couple weeks ago. So what was the first thing that you noticed that might be wrong?
Well, it took me a long time to realize that something was really wrong. My first symptoms were my lungs were burning at the gym, and I attributed it to something completely different. But then fever and fatigue set in, and so I assumed it was the flu. And I went to urgent care the following day so that I could get put on Tamiflu. And they felt that it was probably the flu, too. They had no COVID tests and were not going to be getting any, anytime soon. And so my chest x-ray looked okay, and they put me on Tamiflu.
I'm an immediate worrier, so I've been talking a ton doing this show and doing the morning show on TV and stuff, and every now and then I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a tickle, and I'm like, no, my voice is just strained. Were you worried about it being coronavirus, or were you listening to the doctors and confident that it was the flu, or was there something in the back of your head telling you differently?
Well, this was a few days before coronavirus really came mm-hmm. for us. So it was before people were talking about, self-quarantining, and it was not anywhere near Illinois yet, to my knowledge. And so, no, I really did not think I had any potential exposure to it at that point. I mm-hmm. was thinking it was the flu.
Yeah. So how does it go from there? Because I know that the symptoms then would get better and worse and fluctuate through the next few days after that.
Right. Well, so I was becoming more symptomatic, and I had a pretty consistent fever, but it was never high, and I had read that coronavirus was a very high fever. I didn't have much of a cough, but I did have some shortness of breath. And then I had a really good day, and I thought I was fine. My fever broke, and then the next day, things just sort of plummeted, and my breathing became much more labored. I was using my inhalers regularly that the urgent care doctor had given me, and I had some very good friends who are nurses on a text chain, and they were said, you've got to go to the ER because pretty soon they're going to be overwhelmed, and you want to make sure that you can get care if it is coronavirus.
Wow.
And so I followed their advice, and I was very sick in the hospital. Those were definitely my worst feeling days. And I came home from the hospital and still new symptoms were emerging, some GI symptoms.
And you hadn't been diagnosed at this point yet when you came home from the hospital, or did you get diagnosed?
I was diagnosed in the hospital. They tested me in the ER, and within 12 hours, I was diagnosed, and I received it, the message by phone, because the doctors and nurses were limiting their amount of times that they would come into my room. So they would call me make sure, if I needed something, they would try to consolidate their trips in, which made sense because they were trying to conserve on PPE and their exposure to me. So I didn't have a lot of hands-on treatment.
So you were all alone in the room when you get this phone call?
I was all alone the whole process ambulance when they transferred me to from one hospital to the other. And they told me, they were very clear that I was going to be alone. There were going to be no visitors, and that it could be mentally, upsetting. They actually prepared me for that.
Which I appreciated. Was it mentally exhausting to kind of battle this by yourself?
It was. It was scary. You know what it was? It was just scary.
Yeah.
But I was honestly so sick in the hospital that it was difficult for me to carry on phone conversations. It was sort of a reprieve from the kids. I didn't have to. It was the best possible place for me to be.
Yeah.
Because I needed to rest.
So how long were you in the hospital for?
I was in the hospital for 3 days, and even though I did not feel well at all when they discharged me, the infectious disease specialist assured me that I was over the hump, the dangerous hump. I was out of the woods, and I could self-treat at home. And I think they needed the space. They needed the room. I had a private room with a decontamination room attached to it. And they had several patients
that had to do it. Yeah, it must be a horrifying realization, because even if you're alone in the hospital, it's a hospital, and you know you feel some level of comfort knowing that if something starts to go one direction, you've got people nearby.
Exactly, because these symptoms would come on so suddenly, and I was afraid that I would get home and then deteriorate. And watching the news in the hospital was not much comfort.
No,
that's when they started announcing fatalities in Illinois, and your mind just goes to really scary places.
We're at a place right now where more and more people have it in Illinois, over 1,800, but still the vast majority of us do not have it, have not experienced it. We're only living by it through conversations like this one, or reading stories in the paper, or watching it on the news. Was it sort of surreal to be watching a story that you were about something that was literally inside your body?
It was, for sure. I mean, just receiving the diagnosis was absolutely surreal. You know, they suspected it, and we realized there was a strong possibility, but then to actually hear that I was one of, at the time, I think I was in the first 17 people in Lake County to be diagnosed, and then to see them, so much just nonstop news coverage, and knowing that I was one of those people, and I was in the hospital for it. The whole experience has been completely surreal.
So you go home. How long have you been at home for?
Oh gosh, I'm losing track of days. Yeah. I've been home for a week.
And you felt a little bit better, as you said, not linearly. And you are keeping yourself. I mean, you got to be fearful, obviously, passing on to your kids, your family. So are you in isolation at home too?
I am in isolation. I have not left my bedroom. I haven't left it much before I went to the hospital, and now, I basically hold my arm out, and my husband fills my water pitcher, and he leaves food at my door. I FaceTime with the kids, but I will be in isolation for at least another 7 days, because I still had a fever last night, and ID PH has said that I need to be symptom and fever free for 7 days before I can come out of isolation.
How old are your kids, if you don't mind me asking?
They are almost 15,
okay.
13, and then I have a daughter turning 10 next Wednesday.
So they understand what's going on, and you're able
Absolutely.
To...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Obviously, we wish you the absolute best of luck. Anything, I mean, I imagine we've been talking on this program the last few nights, giving praise to first responders. And I imagine that they go back, not every experience in the hospital is great, but I imagine you are thankful to some of the caretakers that you had, at least.
I'm in awe of the healthcare workers that treated me and that are treating COVID patients across the country, across the world. I mean, I felt so guilty every time they would have to walk in my room, and knowing that I had a disease that if they contracted it could potentially kill them. I am so indebted to them, and very inspired, and I am very frustrated with people in my own community and across the country that are not taking this seriously and putting themselves, their families, and healthcare workers that we desperately need right now in jeopardy.
Because you're a young, healthy woman.
Correct.
Yes. Well, before this, and will be afterwards too, I'm sure. Yes. We're certain of that. We do have a couple just quick questions. The one that has come up, and I think I read it in the Tribune article, but you don't know exactly where you got it, but there's a hypothesis of how you contracted this, right?
Yes, I was at a fundraiser, and I believe I am now one of five people who has tested positive. So IDPH felt pretty strongly that that's where I contracted it.
And
we'll never know for sure.
Right. But you told the Tribune that even that night you were aware of it and were hand sanitizing, doing everything that you could even do that night.
Well, I am an absolute germaphobe. I drive my family crazy, so there's some irony in the fact that I'm the one that caught it.
Yeah.
I was avoiding handshaking at all costs. There were a few people who were sort of aggressive about it, and I wasn't comfortable saying no. And so as soon as I would take someone's hand, I would pull my hand sanitizer out of my purse and sanitize. But, you know, there was a lot of commingling that night, and, going to the bar and the coat check and the valet. So who knows?
Who knows?
It's hard to know. Yeah.
Exactly. Just shows how easily this thing is able to spread. And
exactly.
I appreciate your words about people taking it seriously. It is ridiculous to me that someone wouldn't. And I hope that your words, if at the very least, have shown people that, we're talking to someone that went through quite a journey. Terry, thank you so much for chatting with us tonight. We do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope everyone stays safe.
Yeah, keep us posted, and best of luck, okay?
Thank you.
We're thinking of you. All right. What a great chat with Terry there, and we really appreciate someone who's gone through this, giving us a little time on the radio.